Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth consistently. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
They are coming to me as a resource and I can help them. Why am I not asking them to pay me?
Today on episode 468 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with relationship-based business strategist and networking expert, Robbie Samuels. I'm going to ask Robbie how to turn relationships into cash and much more. Find out more about Robbie along with all of our previous episodes at smashingtheplateau.com. Now let's welcome Robbie Samuels. Robbie helps his clients shift their mindset around relationship building so they discover new connections and business opportunities in the world around them and know how to act on them. He's been recognized as a networking expert by Inc. magazine and Lifehacker and is the author of the best-selling business book Croissant vs. Bagels, Strategic, Effective, and Inclusive Networking at Conferences. A professional member of the National Speakers Association, Robbie has been speaking on the topic of inclusive networking for over a decade. As a consultant and coach, he shares how to create more inclusive and engaging conversations. Robbie, welcome to the show.
David, thank you so much for having me.
So I'm glad to have you on. Networking is so important to doing business and building relationships. What's the biggest mistake entrepreneurs make when it comes to networking?
Well, I think they think of networking as a side thing that they should get to, but they don't know how to like weave it into their business. They also think of networking as a meet new people as opposed to, I mean, I theorize that 80% of who we need to know, we've already met. I actually believe that every business challenge can be met with a relationship solution. And often those are connections that we've had from 10, 15 years ago, but we just have lost touch. So I think people just, they don't think about networking as an integral part of their business, that it's actually about, you know, networking is really business strategy. It's networking strategy. It's a marketing strategy. So I just think they put it off and they don't do it until they need something. And that's the worst time to go tap your network is when you haven't been nurturing it and then you show up needing something.
So if 80% of whom we need to know, we have already met, why do people go to all these networking events?
Well, often they go with no real purpose in mind, honestly. I mean, most of the time when people go to a large conference or even a monthly meeting, they go out of some obligation. They were told to, they should, they feel like they have to be present. They go for the content. We really often miss the opportunity to maximize the moment, which is the connections, the convening of people who have a similar history, a similar background, a similar interests, similar values. There's a lot of greatness that can come from being in those spaces. So I think we should go, but I think we should be selective about why we're going and understanding our purpose of having connections, that the conference cannot be just content alone.
Okay, so you and I are both podcasters. Let's say we go to a podcasters or podcasting conference. What should we have in mind when we are networking or meeting new people at a conference?
It's so interesting you say that because last year, for the first time, I did attend Podcast Movement, which is a enormous podcasters conference here in the United States. And I wanted to make sure I was making the most of it. So they had the opportunity to host sort of meet and greets or gatherings that are informal meetups that they were willing to advertise on their website and help, you know, let you promote it through their Facebook group, et cetera. So I actually organized two of them. I organized a breakfast and I organized some drinks so that before I even got to the event, I'd already engaged with some people with some similar identities and similar interests and had some sense of who might be there that I'd want to go talk to. I did not walk into the room knowing nobody, which is what I thought was going to happen. So I went with a bit of a purpose of that around the who I wanted to meet on a participant level, but I also had some goals around meeting some of the speakers. I mean, Pat Flynn has been for a long time an inspiration to me, not just because of his business acumen, but because the way he's a family guy and he was able to do both, grow his business and raise a family, which is something I'm doing. So I also went with this is my chance to be in his space and get on his radar. And I achieved that and got to actually meet him and his staff and spend a few minutes with them. So I think that if you're going to a space, know why you're going and really think about how to curate the space to your own needs as opposed to just following along to whatever else other people have already laid out for you.
Okay, that's actually a great strategy. And I agree with you. it's a strategy that many people don't use when they plan to attend either something like a conference or even something like a weekly or monthly meetup.
Agreed.
Yeah. So going back to your comment about 80% of who we need to know, we've already met. What should you be doing with those people whom you already know?
Well, I think it's about creating some habits. So when I work with my coaching clients, I encourage them to do 2 touch points a week for 90 days. And then the second half, the 6 months we work together, I find that I no longer have to remind them because they're doing it all the time. So it's like doing the 2 touch points. So a touch point is not just liking, a comment. It's not just retweeting, but it's more thoughtful. It could be writing a review on a podcast, writing a review in a book, forwarding a piece of content, tagging the author, and writing something thoughtful as you forward it to your people. It's about reaching out to someone that you haven't talked to in a while and ask to have a phone call. It could be meeting for someone for coffee. It could be offering someone a particular piece of advice because you notice they're needing that. It could be sending a book to someone who's right in the middle of a project, and that book would be perfect. So it's really about a little bit more thoughtful of an engagement. And there's a few different ways to do this. John Corcoran does his 50 conversations list. So he really thinks about 50 people he wants to talk to that year. And every day his planner that he designed has a space for the next person on the list. I just gave an assignment to my coaching cohort to make a list of 20 people that they would love to hear from that they maybe worked with in the past or went to school with or were on a committee with, you know, and it's been a while since they've connected on a personal level. And maybe they're connected on social media. And, you know, we'll talk next time we meet about what to do with that list. But I think even just generating that list, it made me think of someone I worked for, supervisor, in 2004, 15 years ago. And I just sent her a note this morning letting her know I was thinking of her and I would actually be in her small town speaking the end of May. So I was like, what an opportunity. And I would have been so sad to miss that opportunity to meet her in person now that she's moved. So I think it's about being open to the serendipity, but I think serendipity will happen more frequently if we know what we're looking for. So it's a little bit about having a sense of purpose around it, but also creating the opportunities. And the opportunities happen when we are open to those connections, seek those connections. I'm afraid that most of us hunker down to our work and we don't look up to our extended network until we need something.
Yeah. So that actually reminds me of a common situation that has happened to me when I've either been part of networking groups or have attended events where I meet someone, maybe for the first time, maybe not, and all they want to do is sell me something. And I just want to like run from the room. What's your thought about that kind of situation?
You're making me laugh, David, because it's like, it's so the antithesis of building a relationship. And I have to say that people who are really good at sales, they know that, you know, just like good fundraisers, they know that you're never going to walk in a room, go up to someone you've never met before, and 3 minutes later, ask them for a $5,000 check and expect to get it. You would never, as a salesperson. So one of the people I interviewed on my show, she was great because she talked about being a high ticket sales closer. Her name is Stephanie Chung. And she is a woman of color and learned her craft by selling private planes. Now, she's not a pilot, nor is she a white man. And yet, she managed to sell this like high ticket, you know, item. And she and I were, you know, having a hysterical, like laugh out loud moment about how you don't sell planes by tossing your business card around a room and hoping people are going to reach out to you. Like spray and pray doesn't work. But it also doesn't work for service-based organizations. Real estate agents shouldn't be doing it. Any coach or speaker, like that's not how it works. I just think when that happens, I think you're right. The running from the room feeling is real. And I think if you were to go back to that space a few times and kept experiencing that, you'd probably opt to go somewhere else to meet your networking needs.
Right. So I couldn't agree with you more. Yet on the other hand, I know that for many people, particularly if business is challenging and they really need to increase their revenue, they're anxious about getting more sales. And you're right that building a relationship takes time and you're not going to sell something right off the bat, particularly if it's a high ticket item. Yet I think there's a lot of tension internally with many people when they know they need to increase sales and they're walking into a room and meeting people for the first time.
Mm-hmm. I think the balance of that is to make sure you're, again, going back to people that you've already worked with. So I spent all of last year focused on growing the coaching side of my business and really didn't put as much attention into the speaking side of my business. The few speaking opportunities I did do were all at a much higher fee, and I was very proud of that. But numbers-wise, it was like, you know, a quarter of what I had done the year before. So it's not surprising that I don't have a strong pipeline of speaking opportunities for 2019. Well, I want to change that. This is the year I want to focus on speaking opportunities, and I'd like to see some things happen soon. So I'm going to be reaching out to people I work with over the last decade, because here's the cool thing. People that were assistant level, you know, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, are probably director level and have budgets now. And they may not work in the same place. They may have, you know, switched locations. So even though I might be able to offer actually the same talk that I did all those years ago, but for a different audience. And, you know, that's going to be a much faster sales process, because they know my work, they trust me, they see me as a resource. And at the same time, I need to be putting attention into building new connections. So I've been, you know, engaging with new associations around events that are coming up later in the year. But it's hard, you know, I can't make a move quickly with those new people to be on the radar for like Q1, but the Q1 work is going to come from existing connections.
Right. So you're also pointing to something else, which is that relationship building and sales that may come from relationships will take time. And it's really important to have a long-term plan for how you are going to manage those relationships. So you're talking about what you're going to do over 12 months, as opposed to, well, what am I going to do this week to try to connect with people that can create sales?
I also have to say that I agree with that, and that I always feel if I start to think, oh, I need to increase revenue, that for me is never the right place to start the conversation. Like, I mean, it's never the right time for me to even think about where I want to go and put my energy with my business. You know, I have a mantra taped to my desk. I have enough. I am enough. I choose to live with abundance, because that scarcity mindset of, oh, where's the revenue? Where's the revenue? Gosh, that never seems to lead to the great connections that I know can happen. When I instead think about, you know, I'd like to have bigger impact, serve more people, you know, a bigger reach, you know, connect with more people, help more people. Like, when I go in with that thought and I lead with an offer, it may not be immediate, but those are always going to be people that, even if they don't need my services, they're going to recommend me. They're going to refer people to the free resources that I have, et cetera. So it is a long game. I have been self-employed. I've been speaking for a decade, but I've been self-employed for 4 years. And I can say that I'm now seeing the fruits of work that I did 2 years ago around building my network, that this year are starting to kind of come together. So it is a longer game. But if you believe in what you're doing, you have to be in it for the long haul.
What would you like to hear on Smashing the Plateau? Go to smashingtheplateau.com and click on Get in Touch. I'd love to hear from you. And I think you're pointing to something really important, Robbie. And I wondered if maybe there's an example you could share of a really great outcome that took time to achieve through relationships that may have had some of this serendipitous nature to it.
Well, so I published a book in 2017 and worked really hard on it being an Amazon bestseller, and it had 150 reviews within a week, and it's now nearing 200 reviews worldwide a little over a year, about a year and a half later. And I wanted to launch some sort of online course program, something after that, and decided to start a pilot. And so I put together a pilot, and I wasn't super clear on who my ideal client was going to be. Prior to this, I'd been coaching, but a very varied client list. It's hard to put together a one-to-many program if your client list is too diverse. And so that's kind of where I was. But I had been building connections in an online group for years. And those are some of the people that joined my pilot. There was someone that I had seen me speak, you know, 7 years earlier who joined my pilot. And so when I went to do it the second time, I was having trouble getting it off the ground. And I had all these people look at my sales page, and no one clicked the link to schedule a call with me. And so then at the same time, I had all these women reaching out to me for help with launching their book, launching a podcast, business strategy questions. And I was helping them one at a time with like a free phone call, you know, answering their questions, offering to do a, you know, a 4-session coaching package around book launch or something, until I realized, wait a second, they are all entrepreneurial women in their 50s who are looking to grow their businesses. They are coming to me as a resource and I can help them. So why am I not asking them to pay me? Like, so I went back to them and I asked the people, I know what I did. I hosted a series of free masterclasses on the topics that were most prevalent in the questions I was getting. That attracted more of this kind of person to my email list. And then I reached out to people who were joining me on those calls who had reached out for some coaching advice. And I asked them one at a time if they'd be in my program, and the cohort filled up like within a month. And, you know, I spent an entire quarter banging my head on that. So it's definitely the ongoing relationships, you know, people see me as a resource in that group, me giving advice, you know, informally, and then people finally saying, yeah, I think Robbie's the right person for me. And me finally paying attention to the fact that that's who was attracted to the work I was doing. And I, instead of trying to like please everyone, I wanted to niche. And I felt like a little lost for a while. So now I work with my clients around how to discover their ideal client, meaning they're probably already near you. They're probably already in your world. I think we're not always tuned into it.
Yeah, that's a great point. And actually, I wondered if you might have one tip you could share about how to pay attention to what's right around you that could actually be a great niche that you're not paying attention to.
So in writing my second book, I actually have been working on a model around this. And so I have a Venn diagram. And the one part of the Venn is a circle around having expertise. So it's something you know a lot about. Then there's the passion you have, and that's the thing you would talk about for free. And then the last one is actually impact and income, because my clients have made money. They want to make money, but they know how to do that. They want to have greater impact. So they want both those things. And I think too often we fall into these traps where we are maybe giving our expertise and we're very passionate, but we've never thought to ask for money. And that's really a hobby until you ask for money. Sometimes we are asked for expertise, but we don't really have it. It's something we're still learning about. And so we're excited about it. I mean, let's say someone hired you as a social media consultant and you're like, well, I've dabbled. Okay, yeah, I'll do it. And then you're like stuck now trying to learn how to make sure you're meeting the client's needs. And that could be a trap in a different way and really distract you from, you know, there's a sort of opportunity cost there. And then there's the people who you get asked for the expertise that you no longer want to be known for. It's the work you used to do and you can help people, but you're not that excited about it. And so that leads to burnout if too many of your clients are that. So your sweet spot, if you want to think of it that way, which is less about what you can offer, but it's about who your ideal client is someone who comes to you for something you know a lot about, would love to talk about. They realize you can help you, that you can help them, and they're willing to pay you for that. They like see the value in what you're offering. That's the amazing part. So I think the opportunity is when you see someone that you're in that hobby space with and you're like, how can I test this? What's the most minimally viable way I can see whether there is actually a resource I can create that people would be excited about? So I think it could be surprising. I think it's often an adjacent expertise. Like I am not wanting to be solely known as a book launch coach. But, you know, when people hear how well my book did as a self-published book, people are like, well, how'd you do that? And then they find out that I host a podcast. Well, how are you doing that? So those are adjacent expertise. And I get to leverage that actually for me as a way to identify great ideal clients for me to work with, not just on that, but about business strategy.
Wow. That's actually great advice. And Robbie, so now that you've been in your own business for several years, what have you found has worked really well when it comes to building consistent, stable revenue?
Well, I'll have to say that is an ongoing struggle, actually, because it took me a while to identify my ideal client. And so I have to say, I feel like I've fallen into the groove in the past, you know, 18 months of the last 4 years. So when someone's listening and they've just made that shift from day job to entrepreneurship, give yourself a break at first because you're going to be trying a lot of different things. I now work with associations. That's my main focus around speaking. I want to work with associations around their conference design to create an engaging experience. I also get invited to speak with a lot of women's leadership conferences, but I feel until now, I didn't really want to be pitching myself to those spaces. But now that I've done half a dozen, I'm like, okay, I could probably have the you know, credibility to come and come to that space. So I think that some of it, the ongoing recurring revenue now is falling in place because I've built the network around what I'm looking to do. Same thing with coaching. You know, when I went to fill the next cohort for a 6-month program, it got definitely easier because people now knew a little bit more of what I had to say. I've got past clients who were talking me up and also signing up again. So I think the recurring model for me is about doing things consistently. One thing I fear is that people try something and they're not getting great results right away. So they don't iterate and they kind of give up. And that's why I set quarterly goals, because I want to like improve on a quarterly basis and not wait to the end of the year to assess whether I've moved forward with my business.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And Robbie, whom do you know personally who has done a really remarkable job smashing the plateau?
Well, I know you know her as well, because she's been a guest in your show a number of times, but Dori Clark has been really a shining light for me in this way. I've known her about a decade. She's now my business coach, because I finally was like, I just need to talk to her on a regular basis to keep going and get from what I knew to do, which is what I've done the last few years, and now the next level, which is something that I can't quite see. You know, you need someone who's been there. But she has built, I think she's up to 9 revenue streams. She is amazing at sort of collecting expertise from other people and sharing in a way that allows all of us to tap into it. She's also just like has the highest IQ and the highest EQ of anyone I've had the pleasure of knowing on a personal level. So it's not surprising to me that she's figured out how to keep smashing plateaus and never stopping. Like, she's going to continue to do that.
Yeah, great example. And yes, Dori has been on Smashing the Plateau a few times. And yeah, she is a great example that many, many people can learn from Dori.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie, what's coming up in the near future for you?
Well, I am working on that second book. It's about building a relationship-based business plan. And it kind of walks through what I've been teaching my clients around how to identify the ideal clients that are around you and get started building a minimally viable product around that and testing it. So I'm excited to have that come out. It'll be out in later this year, late in 2019. And I'm also just really excited to be working with more associations this year. It's helping them design great conference experiences for first-time attendees and those attending solo. It's been a real pleasure to see the outcome of people going to these events and not just coming back thinking, I don't know, was that worth it? But instead coming back with real connections.
Sounds great. Robbie, if someone wants to go deeper with what you shared today or learn more or access any resources you have, where would they go?
Well, I do want to give something to your listeners, which is 10 tips for conference connections. And they can get that, a 3-page PDF. My book's great and it's not a long read, but this is a nice little quick summary that you can review in the elevator on the way into the meeting. It's available at robbiesamuels.com/STP for Smashing the Plateau. And you can find a lot more about me. It's at robbiesamuels.com. Robbie Samuels is what I am on all the social media platforms. I would love to hear from your listeners on LinkedIn, Facebook, etc.
Sounds great. So listeners, I encourage you to get in touch with Robbie. He has a wealth of information, particularly when it comes to building relationships and mining them. Robbie, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and share your insights. My guest today has been relationship-based business strategist and networking expert Robbie Samuels. Thank you again, Robbie, for joining us.
My pleasure.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed how to turn relationships into cash and how Robbie is building consistent, stable revenue in his own business. Would you like more consistent, stable revenue in your business? Go to smashingtheplateau.com and click on Schedule Time with David to connect directly with me. Please share this episode with friends and colleagues to help them smash the plateau. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.